listen. Be ready to respond. Allow your Holy Spirit, Father, to move beyond where we stand, to grow in our faith, to be challenged in our faith. Father, to be taking steps, Father, to again fulfill your great commission, to being go and sharing your love. But going, Father, and sharing our lives with one another. May these lessons, Father, that your Son, Jesus Christ, taught, teach us. And may we just respond gloriously to what you have written. May you guide my thoughts and my words this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we continue, but also we close off our series on teaching us to pray that we've been walking through. We've learned that prayer is communication with God, and it's an act of worship with each person as they worship with God in prayer. It comes through the access provided by His Son, Jesus Christ, and of course prompted by the Holy Spirit. But again, why have we walked through this series? Well, we're reminding two things. I wanted us to help develop a powerful prayer life, calling us who believe in Christ to turn our volume, turn our intensity up in our prayer life, right? How many of us were driving in our car or maybe listening on our phone and we hear a great song? What do? We crank up the volume, right? Well, we hear a great song. We hear some great, amazing words that Jesus has taught in the Lord's Prayer. So let's crank up the volume, right? Let's crank, turn up the level in our prayer lives. I also wanted us to be encouraged by showing us that God hears our prayers. Sometimes we're so hesitant and worried about maybe increasing our prayer life. But that more than anything, hearing that God hears our prayers would wrap us up. And that's what the message is about this morning, God hearing our prayers. And that also, too, would begin to reflect even as us in a church wrapping up our prayer lives, being encouraged to pray more as a church as well. I hear this saying, it says, when I pray, things happen, and when I don't pray, they don't. Every single week, we've been walking through a different phrase of the Lord's Prayer. And if you've missed some of them, you want to catch up or even go listen again, they're on our website. But hopefully, it's been a time of growth for each one of you, where you've continued to focus more on your prayer life. And that also, too, as a church, we begin to focus more on our prayer life as a church. And hopefully, many of us, right, have expanded our prayer life, understanding the Lord's Prayer in a different way, or in a new way, or just helping even to strengthen what we understand it to be. And as we pray it, we're praying it a little more differently, not just something that we've memorized. So this morning, we'll discover that Jesus not only is encouraging us to pray, but insists on us praying with shameless audacity, persistently, and expectantly. So turn with me to Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. Luke 11, 5 to 13, and I'm reading from the NIV version. Here Jesus says, and Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? As I've just read the Lord's word, I want you to come back for a moment, and if you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to underline those two words, shameless audacity. Shameless audacity. And then go over and starting in verse 9, I want you to underline ask. And the word give. I want you to underline seek. And I want you to underline find. And I want you to underline knock. And I want you to underline opened. And then also the phrase is everyone. Asks and receives, seeks and finds, and knocks, the door will be opened. We're going to take a bit of a step back in time for a moment. There was a messenger at a photo lab, and as he was leaving, he was taking, he had to make a courier stop. And as he left, his beeper, you know, of course, the little square thing that would give you a message, right? Now it's a cell phone. And it went off. And the message instructed him to go and pick up a package and deliver it to a company that had 12 syllables. It was a tongue-twisting name. And he couldn't even pronounce it. And the messenger kind of looked up to the sky, and he said, God, where am I supposed to go? Well, right then and there, the pager rang, and there it gave the client's address. Well, just so happened that someone was observing what was happening with this messenger. And the guy said, he raises his arms to heavens, and he cried, why don't you ever answer me like that? All of us as Christians, we struggle. We struggle with the problem of unanswered prayers. In fact, the problem can discourage us to the point of where we may cease. We may stop praying. We might even say, well, what's the use of praying if God's not going to answer me? We hear stories of God answering prayers for providing the needs for others, some miraculous praise items. And you're saying, well, God, why don't you answer me like that? Sometimes we try again. We go, okay, God, I'm not going to close the door on you yet. I'll try again. But of course, I'm reminded like a little boy that used to go and play Nicky Nicky Nine Door. We'd go and we'd ring the doorbell and run away. Right? And you know, we don't really stick around too often to see if they open the door or not. Right? And sometimes that's what we do with our prayer. Right? We commonly we pray for a little bit, but then like God doesn't answer the door right away. So like, okay, we'll stick around. And here's the question. When someone rings your bell or they knock on the door, how long does it actually take you to go and answer the door? Right? I tested it a few times. When I heard the knock on my door this week, I timed it on how long it took for someone in our family to get down to the door. Okay? On average, it was probably about 20 seconds. Right? And truly, sometimes that 20 seconds felt like forever. It felt like 5 minutes. It's like, get the door already. Because I was afraid of, like, well, they knocked. No one's answered the door yet. That person might leave. Well, how often sometimes do we actually do that in our prayer lives? Right? We pray. God hasn't answered quick enough. So I'll just stop praying. Well, here Jesus begins in verses 5 to 8 talking about shameless audacity. Jesus told his disciples a parable that a man was going to his friend at midnight and asking his friend, please, give me 3 loaves of bread. Right? A man has arrived from a journey and I have nothing before him. Okay? This is significant because back in Jesus' time, hospitality was a huge thing. Okay? We don't find this in our culture. We've heard that Dennis and Beth's family, they were traveling on holidays. Right? And many of us have probably arrived into a city to visit someone late at night. But sometimes we'll get a hotel and not go knock on their door for a visit when we arrive. We wait till the next morning because it would be impolite to go and knock someone's door at midnight. But back in Jesus' time, that was something that was natural. Right? Midnight is not a very good time to go and ask for bread. My neighbor came and knocked on my door at midnight and asked for bread, right? Excuse me? You want what? Right? The friend of a man refuses to help him because everyone's asleep. How dare you? We're in bed. Jesus says, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his shameless audacity. Or other verses use persistence. Or another version uses importunity. So that friend will rise and give him whatever he needs. Jesus told this parable to call Christians to a shameless and bold prayer life, asking God to help them in times of need. An important difference here, however, is that God is not answering from a locked door. God's not saying, don't bother me. God's saying, ask, seek, and knock. If you truly need God, he's saying, come to me boldly before him in prayer, shamelessly. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Ask him for what you need. Persistently knocking. Think for a moment, Star Trek. To boldly go where no man has gone before. That's famous saying. We might think that God's so perfect that he shouldn't be bothered. We see the picture in the Bible, right, of God being constantly being praised with angels surrounding him. Maybe God having to handle the universe, keeping everything in line and thinking, you know what, these things are too small to bother God with. Go boldly where no man has gone before. God is approachable. God isn't too great, nor is he too distant for us to be able to speak to him. God has no protective detail like the president, protecting him from unwanted people. God has no secretary answering his phone. is available 24/7. He doesn't shut his phone off or put his phone in another room where he can't be reached. He's ready and he's willing to listen at any time of the day. The man here was not going to give up on his quest to get what he needed. Jesus wants us to have that quality of a prayer life. He explained that the sleeping friend would give in to that late night request because of the brazen, bold courage that he had to come and ask. In Hebrews 4:6, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." You're going to hear this scripture verse a few times this morning. You actually heard it last Sunday as well. I don't think that God is ever motivated to give us what we ask in prayer because of the pressure that we put on Him. There's a TV show called The Big Bang Theory. Sheldon, where he comes across to his neighbor's door, right? He knocks. Knock, knock, knock. Penny. Knock, knock, knock. Penny. Knock, knock, knock. Penny. Right? To get her attention, to get what he needs. God's not answering the door because he feels pressure to answer the door. But he allows us to develop this shameless audacity, bold courage, in order for us to truly own our own request. Do you truly need this? Is this truly important to you? Then ask me. Come and knock. Come and ask. We can't approach God with kid gloves or a heart of hesitation or reluctancy. Because if we do, do we truly believe that He would answer our prayer? Do we truly believe that He has the strength and the power to do so? We begin to even begin to question, does He actually even care? Does He actually even listen? We begin to then start putting roadblocks in our prayer life. Jesus then moves immediately into explaining what this shameless audacity looks like in verses 9 to 13. Pray persistently. In my larger Bible, it has a comment that says, "Persistence or boldness in prayer overcomes our insensitivity, not God's. The practice persistence does more to change our hearts and minds than His. It helps us to understand and express the intensity of our need. Persistence in prayer helps us to recognize God's work. How many of us that have had children, that they come and they ask, "Can I have an ice cream? Or can I have a freezie?" And they can persistently ask. And what's our response? "I heard you the first time." But here, God is wanting us to ask persistently. In verse 9, Jesus tells His disciples, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Persistently. The exciting aspect of this verse is that there's three verbs. Ask, seek, and knock. But I don't know if you've noticed this. Take the first letter of each of those words. A-S-K. What does that spell? us have habits, some good, some bad. But as we look here, these verses read, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't be content with just asking once and moving on. Right? And I want to give you a bit of a picture of this. It's where, okay, the first of the month, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to give my prayer for the month or the prayer for the week. God, this is what I need this week. Whatever. You won't hear from me until next week. Or you won't hear from me till next month. God is wanting us to be persistent in continuing to come to Him in prayer, asking, seeking, and knocking. Sometimes we only ask once for our rent and we wait on the Lord. Sometimes we might ask three or four times. But what is we getting at is that some people in Jesus' time in some of the other religions, they would come and there would be a designated time for prayer at that moment in their rituals, and then they would no longer pray until they come back to that time again. In our English translation, it does not clearly bring up the idea of verse 9. If we're not careful, we can easily look at this with a wrong conclusion. Jesus is saying that if you ask once, then you will receive. Right? He's not saying that if you ask once, you receive. If you seek once, you will find. And if you knock once, the door will be immediately open to you. That's not what it is. It is not saying that. Let's get my tongue all kind of twisted here. That would be contrary to the context and the actual tense of these verbs. You are to continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock, because you will be given, you will find, and the door will be opened. The point of this illustration is that it's an opportunity of the man that's trying to get bread from his friend. Jesus gives this instruction about prayer to persevere, to not give up. Because how often through our journey in our prayer life have we prayed a week, a month, 2 months, a year, the Lord still hasn't answered our prayer? An example of this. Right? 2.5 years. When Lisa, my wife, suffered her injury, whatever, and got this disease called Crips, we prayed continually for healing, that her arm would be able to come back and function, that she would no longer feel pain. Has God answered that prayer? No. Have we stopped praying? No. Has God provided some other answers to prayer for what Lisa needs? Yes. Before, she was not able to return to work. Right? But through some persistence in care, through the medical system, through her pain clinic and stuff, has allowed her to be able to return back to work. So even though she still has pain, even though she doesn't have full functioning of her arm, God has answered our prayer, being allowed her to get back to work. So it's actually not truly exactly what we were asking for, but God provided for our need. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. The door will be open. And know this, there's not a pecking order. here that everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is Jesus promising that God will give us anything we ask for in prayer? No. But that is a popular teaching. Grant Osborne calls this teaching materialism made spiritual and comments that it's incredibly dangerous because it says that now we are in control, not God. God hears and will provide us with what we need. It might not be exactly what we're asking. It may be something completely different. If you have the trouble understanding what persistent looks like, right? Think about when you have taken your little children to the grocery store, or you might even observe this in Walmart or in the grocery store. When you see the child asking his or her parent, "Can I have that?" I mean, how many parents would ever avoid the candy aisle, right? Like no other. For us, my mom would avoid the cereal aisle when we were growing up, right? Because we wanted those Fruit Loops, we wanted those Frosted Flakes, man. Corn Pops, ever. I think my mom punished us because she got us a big bag of puff wheat that was like the size of a sandbag. We're like, we're sorry for asking. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. These very words is telling us not to give up, to continue to pray. You are to pray at all times and not lose heart. With this, it's telling us as we pray to pray expectantly. In verse 10, Jesus tells his disciples, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks will be opened." This gives us the definition, the description of being expectant. Expect to receive. Expect to find. It truly is an encouragement to pray. In verse 11 and 12, Jesus asks a rhetorical question. Okay? Jesus is kind of bringing a little bit of his humor out. Okay, so I don't know whether it's the mother, but most of the time it's the father that does the practical jokes in the house. Okay, all of us have done it for our kids. Well, I keep doing it to my kids. But here, rhetorical question. Indicate that we serve a good God who is a lovingly heavenly Father. He says, "What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" The obvious answer is that only the wicked father would do something as mean as this. They would give, right, his son or his daughter, his child, a snake who their face when they saw that iPhone package. Like, no way! This is awesome! This is the best gift ever! And then they opened up the case and they're like, what's that? It's your cell phone. This isn't a cell phone. It's like a walkie-talkie. Dad, you're so cruel. You're so mean. Jesus then says in verse 13, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You see what Jesus did in His response? His hearers would have correctly thought only an evil father would give such poor or bad gifts. Is it possible that some dads could be so cruel to do such a dangerous joke? Jesus tells us they are evil, yet they give good gifts to their children. Jesus here takes a position and is arguing from the lesser to the greater. If humans are spiritually dead, the lesser, and are able to give good gifts to their children, how much more than God, being the spiritual giver of life, the greater, able to give good gifts to His children? What will you receive from your Heavenly Father? Jesus says in verse 13 again, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The promise that Jesus gives us is that God will give us good things. Story about my son Aaron. My son Aaron is very active in sports. However, he's a teenager and he does not want to go to bed. And we had a big tournament coming up and we're telling him, hey, it's 9:30, you gotta go to bed. I'm not tired, I'm okay, I'll be fine. Right? If you don't go to bed, you're gonna be tired in the morning. Right? You won't be able to perform well. Right? No, I'll be fine. Whatever. I'm good. Aaron, you gotta go to bed. Right? We're like, okay, fine. It's not gonna go well for you in the morning. I'll be fine. Okay? And with about midnight, kind of rolled around, he was still up. He'd be up at 7 a.m. Right? He's a teenage boy. There's been a few times during the summer that he's gone to bed probably maybe around 10:30, 11 o'clock. I sleep till 11. What? And, well, we got him up at 7. He's like, no, 5 more minutes. No, you've got to get up now. You've got to get ready. I'm so tired. Remember, that's his nickname. I'm tired. Right? He was tired of the consequences. Right? He dragged his butt all day. Right? We told you. Should have went to bed. I know, he would say. God is always a good thing. Let me repeat that. God is always a good thing. You cannot go wrong with God. Why? Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. So often when we've gone over to friends' homes, hey, and they have wonderful and incredible different food, and I gobble it up. Hey, it's yummy. Right? Lebanese food. Oh, the Karen food. Right? They've seen me eat, right? They can see that I enjoy it. So we encourage our kids, taste it. No, don't want to. administration could not use these verses this morning as our own selfish desire. Don't use it as your own tool to think that you're going to get what you want and what you deserve. Too often Christians will read, ask, it will be given to you, and interpret it to mean, I can ask for anything I want regardless of its eternal value, and I will get it. When Jesus says that God the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, He's reminding us that our asking, our seeking, our knocking are in the context of what? The Lord's Prayer. Right? So draw back to me if you want to open up to the Lord's Prayer, as I reference here. So in the context here of asking, seeking, and knocking, right, it's His name being hallowed. His coming kingdom. His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. You see the correlation? Asking, seeking, and finding. Then we look at His provision for our daily bread. His forgiveness of our sins. You seek forgiveness, you will find forgiveness. And then His protection into temptation. You ask for protection, He will provide it. He always says He will give you a way out. Our receiving of God must be understood that He will give His children what they need, even if it isn't what they think they need. So closing off, I'm going to share a couple scripture verses, because God says it way better than I do. Jesus tells us as Christians to pray shamelessly.